Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to The Process. It's your boy Ralph. Let's talk some football. We got Week 18 NFL action to get into. We'll also touch a little bit on what we saw in this bizarre Week 17 of NFL action. Before we do all that, though, very quickly, where you can find us and keep up if you're new. You don't need to know this if you're not new. Welcome back. But for the newbies, www.tigerbombsae.com. That is the Tiger Bomb website. You can watch this podcast there, listen to this podcast there, and listen to any other podcast that we have at Tiger Bomb. So if you like true crime, baseball, stuff like that, maybe something else there for you. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. If you like listening to your podcast on the go, Apple, just type in Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This will pop up. Like and subscribe. And you'll catch all the episodes of The Process as well as all the other podcasts done by Tiger Bomb. And Facebook and Twitter. If you're a social media person, we can keep up that way at The Process, TBSAE. We talk fantasy football. Format's a little shortened and condensed because we're, you know, down towards the end of the year here. But we still want to reflect and certainly give you some tips and things if you want to play some DFS for sure. That's what this is all about, because we are moving forward after championship week for most of us. Now, before we even get into that, we do need to talk about DeMar Hamlin, the scary moment there on the field. Obviously, if you haven't been stuck under a rock in the past week, you know that he had a scary collapse on Monday Night Football during the Bills and Bengals game. He made a tackle with his sternum, gets up after the tackle, collapses shortly thereafter. As I said, very scary moment. Going in the cardiac arrest is always going to be serious. If you can't be in the hospital, you might want to be in an NFL field when it happens. So many specialists and medical team members there that you're going to get immediate care ASAP, that as a player, you know, like I said, unless you're in the hospital, unparalleled. Thankful for him for that. Thankful, if you don't know, it's Saturday evening here in the West Coast, but he's, you know, was responsive, chatted with his teammates this morning. I should say was on video with his teammates this morning. A couple of hand gestures and things like that, you know, but, you know, let them know he loved them and things like that. So very powerful stuff. They're going to be motivated to win it for him this week is my suspicion. But just we'll continue to think about this guy as he, you know, moves forward and gets better. Think about his family. The other thing I'll say is this medical staff, you got to give your hats off to these people, because think about it. I mean, what, for years and years and years, all you ever get is a, you know, ACL sprain, right? Like MCL tore. And then all of a sudden you get this, right? But these guys were ready. You know, they administered CPR for 9 minutes on the field, brought this guy back to life. Like, there's no, I'm getting, you know, chills even thinking about it, because there's no way to shortchange how miraculous what happened was. And what that team was able to do to get him en route to the hospital. Nothing short of incredible. It could have went another way. Luckily, it did not. And a couple other side notes as we kind of move away from that more important alternate arc, right? Side notes, though. Game gets canceled, you know, which personally I think is a good move. You know, anybody like Skip Bayless, we talked about the postponement as a bad thing right away, looks pretty bad. But also in retrospect, as a, you know, growing up as a wrestling fan, this makes Vince McMahon and WWE look bad as well. Because if you recall, there's a wrestler, Owen Hart, who passed away at a pay-per-view. They made the decision, Vince made the decision to, you know, go on with the pay-per-view, and they did. I think maybe a 30-minute break, right? So it's like you clean up. This guy fell from the rafters, if you're not aware. You could, you know, look this up or whatever, but he's supposed to be strapped to a harness, and he's going to, you know, rappel down, and he fell, and he died at that pay-per-view, and they kept doing the show, you know, the scripted wrestling show, no less. So thinking about that growing up, from this perspective of canceling the game, I think was definitely the respectful thing to do, the right thing to do, the safe thing to do. You can't expect these guys to go out there and perform at a high level, especially the Bills, when their teammate, you know, at that point, they didn't even know. He may or may not have been dead, you know, at that point, for all they knew. So I like the fact that the game was canceled. I don't mind that. But this could not have come at a worse time. You know, week 17 championship week for most of us. Monday night, so it's like the last game that matters to us for fantasy football, which has got a lot of people in the tiff. A lot of people in the tiff because, understandably, league bragging rights, money, championships, all on the line surrounding this injury. So what do we do with the leagues? The funny thing is the apps, just kind of ended it week 17. And I think that was the appropriate thing to do after the league canceled the game. So it's not like they postponed the game or whatever. But, once that was sort of what was going to happen, then we saw our apps crown whoever was champion. And then in some cases, in some apps, NFL fantasy app, then it pulled that back and said, you guys can adjust accordingly, but points, whatever, whatever. Issue being, though, is I think, for me personally, it's okay to leave it as is. Yes, it stinks. Yes, it stinks if you had Josh Allen and maybe you were within 10 points to win. But you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. It happened and it's over and week 17 is done. Playing it out in week 18, that's not fair. It's just not fair. In my opinion, also, even if you just take the isolated players that had time left and say, well, we'll just take their score from week 18, also not fair. Different matchups. In that example I just gave, Josh Allen was going to play the Bengals last week. Now he's getting New England this week, maybe tougher matchup. So it's kind of like you can't use another wrong to right a wrong. Just let it go. We got to just let it go. There's a lot of upset people, but I think, and I was on the fence at first, but I'm more on the leave it as is side now after hearing the reflection of so many players that I respect in fantasy football this week lose championships and say it is what it is, right? Some leagues did co-champions or whatever. Not going to, ruffle feathers. However you guys did it, you did it. But for me, for my money, for the votes that I had in my league, leaving it as is makes the most sense. There's no point in dragging it out any further. But I get it. There's money at stake. There's championships at stake. So maybe that doesn't work for you guys. But just an alternate weird scenario that obviously nobody was really ready for, I guess, from a fantasy perspective. So if you did win the league, congratulations to you, however that happened. If you didn't win, we play the game and we try again next year. You have to be able to sustain year over year. And so this isn't going to make or break me as a fantasy player, what happened in this week 17 of this 2022 season. We're going to keep moving forward. That's what the process is about, learning and moving forward. If you're new to this, you want to catch us early. We start doing process episodes in August. Get you ready for the draft. If you start the process at the beginning, it's easier than trying to catch up mid-season or hoping we can correct some boo-boo that was made during the draft. Get on with us early. Talked about in August names like, Kenneth Walker. Talked about these guys. Traylon Burks, who had a moment in the sunshine this year, mentioned this guy, Garrett Wilson. These are all players that we highlighted in the two episodes that we did before the season even started. So enough to get you going and enough to get you in the right direction. So think about that and swing back for us next year. Whether the NFL made the right decision in terms of Baltimore and Cincinnati, it could be a coin flip to determine home field advantage if it comes down to those two teams. I get it. It's okay to be salty if you're those teams and something's, unfavorably might going to go against you. I get it. Coin tosses do feel arbitrary. Maybe some of that stuff I don't agree with. The neutral site thing, I agree with that. If it's the Bengals and the Bills in the AFC Championship game, I think that's a good decision. But more or less, the part about the media decisions were great. The decisions voted on by the owners afterward, maybe not so much. But I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. We got to just move forward. So that in mind, let's move forward and get you some valuable information for this week. Kind of just, again, truncated format of sessions or I should say segments we would do during the year where we really dissect each and every week's particular points and pinpoint how to win, not only in seasonal, but in DraftKings, DFS, stuff like that. So we're going to give you some overview highlights here and probably do it pretty quickly so I can get on. Titans and Jags just started. It's Saturday night, so I want to see that. Right away, I'll tell you guys just off the top of my head. Jacksonville. I know it's a hot pick right now, but I'm going to go Titans in that one. I think they upset Jacksonville. Derrick Henry, they put it on his shoulders, and I think he runs the rock and breaks some hearts tonight is what I'm expecting. So I'm excited to finish up and go investigate further. Let's do some who would you rather, though. First up, David Montgomery, Jerry Jeudy. Bears not playing for much against the Vikings. The Vikings may sit people, too. So I like Montgomery versus Jeudy. Denver's a mess. They fired their coach. They played a little better last week, which is cool for them. But ultimately, there's not a lot, you know, at stake. They're playing the Chargers. Chargers are in. Denver isn't. I don't think the Chargers necessarily going full out for this game. But, I mean, Eckler for sure. You know, that you want to play him, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, of the two, I would probably just go with Montgomery just because, you know, safe. Now, I understand that Khalil Herbert is out there too. I get that for sure, right? So I'm not going to deny that that is a lingering thing that could take away from his production. But between him and Jerry Jeudy, I'm going David Montgomery, and then David Montgomery and Jahan Dotson. I'll take Dotson because Washington, even though they're in a tougher matchup this week, they're holding on to this idea that things will go their way. So they have a tough game with Dallas. I think they will be trailing. More importantly, both their running backs are out. So that's not great. Going to force their hand through the air, I think. So of Montgomery or Jahan Dotson, I'll take Dotson. Zach Moss or Christian Watson? Let's go Zach Moss here. He's been coming on for Indianapolis, getting more of the reps lately now that JT's shut down for the year. And they're facing Houston. We know this team has been historically bad this year on the ground against running backs. So Zach Moss, probably a pretty good fit this week if you're looking for a name that maybe not popular, but we should benefit from this week 18. That's a name. Saquon Barkley or A.J. Brown. I'm going to go with A.J. Brown here. Again, Eagles need to fend off Dallas. I don't see why they don't, you know, try to go out and get this one, honestly, and they can squash the Giants. This is a game with teams facing each other. The Giants got some playoff hopes. I think the Eagles would love to be the team to shut the door on that. Saquon Barkley, obviously a focal point, but I just don't think that and that's the way to try to attack Philly is running it, but for my money, I'm going with the Eagles here, just a much better team at this point. Terry McLaurin or Zach Moss, again, you know, I want to say McLaurin, but Moss versus Houston. I recognize that McLaurin, their hand is going to be forced in Washington by the fact that they don't have running backs. Dallas is a good defense, though, so there's that. Michael Pittman Jr., Indianapolis, or Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco already played. I would assume that he's going to outscore Pittman, though. Pittman in Indianapolis, they actually have a date, as I said, with Houston. But again, through the air is what I'm thinking is probably the way you beat them. So Christian McCaffrey versus Justin Jefferson this week. I don't know how much Jefferson goes, but I also don't know how much McCaffrey goes. I would say Jefferson, I guess. McCaffrey, especially because he's banged up, sounds like a game-time decision. They probably will, you know, back off of him if they think that they are damaging his long-term outlook. They have playoff hopes that ride squarely on his shoulders. So I'll say they pull back on him this week. Let's go Justin Jefferson, but I'm down on both of these guys. Jahan Dotson or Tyler Algier, I will say Algier. Atlanta not playing for the playoffs, but Algier certainly playing for a job. And they have a game. Actually, this week Atlanta's playing. Why can't I remember who they're playing this week? The Falcons are. Isn't it a divisional game that they're playing? Tampa Bay, that's right, yep. So, with that in mind, Algier versus Tampa Bay, I would rather take him than Jahan Dotson versus the Cowboys, especially because Tampa Bay, I think, they know where they're at. They got their division. They can't really move up in the playoffs. I think they're going to be sitting people, and they're susceptible against the run anyway. So, I could see Algier being fine. Jacoby Myers or A.J. Dillon? I would say A.J. Dillon here. Myers obviously in play as New England will try to keep up with Buffalo, but I do believe that A.J. Dillon will get some run if the Packers can get ahead of Detroit. So essentially, if that's the case, and they've been using him more and more anyway down the stretch, so I like him. A.J. Brown or Tony Pollard? I'm going to go Pollard in this one, just Dallas. I think they, you know, and actually, you know, they might not. I don't think that they're going to have to play real hard to beat Washington. But I also am just concerned that they might sit Pollard and Zeke and bring in some of the other backs that they have. But I will say Pollard. Okay, DeAndre Swift or Michael Pittman. I'm going to go Swift. Much more meaningful game for Detroit. They got the Sunday night game against the Packers, which is for everything, right? It's for the playoffs for those two teams. So Packers, if they win, they're in. Detroit can beat the Packers and put themselves in prime positioning. So very important one there. I would take Swift because the way to beat Green Bay is through the ground. Zach Moss or Michael Pittman Jr., same guy, same team, versus Houston. We'll say Moss. So week 18, you know, just as we go through each one of these games very quickly, just, you know, the way you might want to consider thinking about it is there's a lot of teams with nothing to play for. We don't need to get overly invested there unless there are guys with incentives and things like that. Jacksonville, that game's going on right now. Both receivers have incentives. So probably a smart thing to think that they're going to try to reach for those. But there's playoff implications there too, so they want to win first. But you know, as you think about the rest of the games on Sunday, what is here? What is at stake? If it's nothing, you probably need to bail out of that. If that's not the case, you know, then look a little further. I'm just looking at the scores, 10-0 Titans now. See, I was telling you guys, they're coming. They're coming. Okay, so that's week 18. It's just go with, you know, the people who have something to play for. Even the teams that you think might be sitting some guys, even the next guy up, probably good on those good teams. So just something to think about there. But ultimately, there's a few teams with very pivotal games to how the year's in. So maybe we get involved there. Tennessee, Jacksonville, gave you my prediction for that one already. Kansas City mopped up the floor with Vegas earlier and did what they needed to do to make sure that they could secure home field advantage, however you feel about that. Getting into Sunday, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Again, Tampa Bay, not much to play for here. You know, I think is the thing about this game is I like Algier, as I said before. Not so much Ridder or, you know, anybody from the receiving core from Atlanta. For Tampa Bay, again, they're going to be pulling starters probably. Rashad White maybe. But outside of that, you know, the Tampa Bay defense maybe. I won't expect a lot of fireworks here. Maybe a guy like Perriman, who's from Atlanta, snapped off against them last time. He's not one of the, you know, higher profile receivers for Tampa Bay, so that makes a little sense if you want to consider that. New England at Buffalo. New England needs to win to get in the playoffs. Buffalo needs to win to keep some sort of, keep themselves in the conversation for home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and so Josh Allen should be fine. And Jonathan Jones, one of the corners for New England, who's been stellar this year, not going to play. So all the more in the favor for Josh Allen. Probably a strong play in DFS. If you don't want to pay down with like a Dak, you could go with Josh Allen. I just think it's going to be too much of him. New England's a good football club, so he will have to overcome to win. And that's what you want is a guy who needs to play the game honestly with his, you know, skills and talents. And so he's in a prime spot in this game. New England on the road here. If anything, you know, I think they're going to try to run the football, Ramon Stevenson, but I don't know how much success they will have. They're going to try to slug it out, make it a slow game. They want to rely on their defense, but I'm not sure that they will be able to. I like Buffalo in this game. I like the Buffalo defense. I just don't think New England packs enough punch to sort of stick it out. If you like anybody, it's got to be a New England kicker here. You know, as far as Buffalo, though, you know, maybe Diggs, not so much. Gabriel Davis, sure. Singletary, sure. But really, it's Josh Allen, and I think everything else just comes together outside of him. Maybe some minute interest in Dawson Knox this week. But Buffalo for sure in that one. Minnesota at Chicago. You know, Chicago not going to play Fields, not a lot to play for them. So, like I said, Montgomery, if you're feeling frisky. But, you know, just stay away. You know, maybe the tight end, if you would like to do that, Cole Kmet for Chicago. But Minnesota, maybe Madison, because I just don't see that they give the starters all that much, which is why, you know, even Justin Jefferson, I wasn't so high on in the would you rather. Minnesota defense maybe, but again, just a meaningless game where I don't want to get too overly invested trying to just pick what's going to happen randomly, right? So, and even Irv Smith coming back, don't know how that affects Hockenson, especially if, you know, Cousins isn't the quarterback, is the backup QB, maybe he goes to the backup tight end. So just be leery. You know, there's nothing set in stone for a lot of these games. Baltimore at Cincinnati, we should see Huntley. He's a little banged up, but we should see Huntley. I think Cincinnati's going to win this game. There's too much at stake for them. They're on this winning streak. Baltimore's a little banged up at the QB position. We're not going to see Lamar this week. So I think that, you know, even though their defense is good, they're playing better, they will try to keep them in the game that way and obviously run the football. So, yeah, you like J.K. Dobbins a little more this week for sure. Try to slow it down, manage it. You know, you want to play Edwards and Likely if you want to play somebody from that side. But I think everything is on the side of Cincinnati, to be fair. I like Mixon. I like the headliners, right? Like Higgins, Chase. But again, if you want to play Burrow because, you know, it's just centered around him, that's fine too. But I got Cincinnati in that one. Houston going to Indy. Again, I think the story is going to be Zach Moss, Indy defense. Houston not providing much of a fight. Mills is going to try his best, you know, but I just don't see what they have. That coaching staff is probably on the way out. He probably is on the way out, but that's why he's going to be trying his best to see if that's not the case. But more than likely is. Jets at Miami, playoff implications, man. Both these teams, Jets need a little help. They need New England to lose as well as Miami to lose so they can control part of their fate. I do think Buffalo is going to beat New England. So I think that the winner of this game is in the playoffs. So big game. Now, Skylar Thompson is starting for Miami. We're not going to see Tua. So you've got to figure with the Jets defense, you know, starting off the year strong, fading a little bit now to end up the year, run the football, Jeff Wilson Jr. or Mostert. I'm going to say Mostert. Once Wilson Jr. got banged up a little, it's kind of been more Mostert to a certain degree. So let's stick with that. But Miami obviously going to, you know, maybe get Gesicki involved. I like that. You have Tua out, but Tyreek Hill and Waddle still dangerous weapons, and they're going to try to find a way to get their guys the ball. I just think that the offense is hampered by Skylar Thompson, and the Jets are not terrible on defense. On the Jets side, probably no Mike White. Now they're saying he's questionable. At best, he's banged up. Whatever they roll out there at QB is going to be pitiful too. So again, running of the football here, right? Like, what can you do with Zonovan Knight against this Miami defense? Probably the better way to attack them as well. I just think that this one is probably going to slip through the hands of Miami. I hate to say it as a Dolphins fan. If Mike White plays, I think the Jets win. If Mike White doesn't play, I think Miami might have enough defensively to pull it out against the Jets. I'd play their defense if Mike White doesn't play Miami. Carolina at New Orleans. They would love to just play spoiler with Carolina to New Orleans. And so, you know, there's an opportunity for them to do that here, actually, if they, you know, play hard. So I like Chuba Hubbard even more so if Foreman's going to sit, because you know then he can get most of the touches alone. So that would be interesting. But as far as the passing game goes, I'm not, you know, super in on any of the Carolina passers. I mean, obviously you got DJ Moore, but I just think that New Orleans, the path to victory, probably on the ground a little bit more is what I'm thinking. So there's that. And I'm just seeing, I'm just making sure. Yeah, because New Orleans is kind of eliminated. So they don't really have, like, you know, much to play for. I know record-wise it looks like they could catch Tampa Bay, but they don't have the tiebreaker there. So they don't have much to play for. Carolina also doesn't have much to play for, but it's a rivalry game. So, you know, as far as New Orleans goes, I mean, the defense, if anything else, but not much to play for in this one. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got an outside shot at the playoffs still. They need a couple things to go their way, but they're live. And so Cleveland, not much to play for. You know, kind of disappointing end of the season there. I think Pittsburgh has a chance here. The defense is going to show up, and I like Najee Harris a lot. Pickett, I cannot go around with that trust, especially against this pass rush. So I just don't trust him that much. So I'm going to fade those Pittsburgh receivers and him. But Najee Harris and the defense, I think they're in play in a game that Pittsburgh should win. They're a much better football team, and they got to secure the win if they have these outside hopes of creeping into the playoffs. They need everybody else to lose, but they'd have to get that win as well. So Tomlin team, tough always to the end. They're going to do what they need to do to see if they can actually pull this thing out, right? So 18% chance to make the playoffs right now, so it's looking bleak, but they're alive. Giants at Philly. Giants basically collapsed down the end, but they are there. They can do this. And so I think Philadelphia, still playing for a home field, they're going to come out swinging. Like we said, Saquon Barkley and running, probably the way to beat Philly, but I just don't see it for the Giants. I don't see them winning this game if Hurts plays or if Minshew plays. I like Philly. I like A.J. Brown. If you want to play Miles Sanders, that's great too. Devontae Smith, I don't mind him, but Goddard is in play more than Smith. Philly's going to win this game, though, for sure. Dallas at Washington. Washington got no running backs. Both Gibson and Robinson are out. So for me personally, not going to that next guy up. Dallas is too good on defense. We like the Dallas defense here. They want to hope the Eagles stumble, and then if they win, they can catch home field and catch the division. So they're going to be playing. I like Dak. I like Lamb. Fire those guys up. Pollard, a little more than Zeke this week. But if they get ahead, I could see them pulling both of those guys out. They should get ahead. Washington doesn't have much punch. We just like Dallas in that one a lot. Chargers at Denver. The Chargers are playing for their playoff spot still, and they're alive, right? Like, they're alive in the conversation. They actually have a spot as of today, the fifth spot. So, you know, the thing about it is, Denver doesn't have much to play for. Eckler, they're going to run it down Denver's throat. That's the thing, and that's the way you beat them. Herbert hasn't been great. Denver's been pretty good against the pass. Eckler and the Chargers defense. Arizona versus San Francisco. Brock Purdy should be looking good against Arizona, the Arizona guy. Last time you played them, he was great. That was in Arizona. But same result this week. I do think that they take the cautionary approach with CMC, but Elijah Mitchell's back, so he's in play this week. Debo's back as well. I like Mitchell. I just think San Francisco's not going to have to do a lot to win this game. I like their defense more than anything else. But once they get ahead and it looks secure, because again, they're playing for Philadelphia stumble, maybe they can get into the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So they'll play hard enough. But once they get ahead and start beating up Arizona badly, I think they pull those guys. Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. So the Seahawks, I mean, they control their fate here. They would need a victory right now, but it's not impossible. Like, if they win, Green Bay loses, Giants lose, they could get in, but I just don't see it. I think the Rams go on the road and play upset here. I think they do upset Seattle. They end this wondrous Geno Smith season, this Pro Bowl season. I just don't think that Seattle has enough. Walker, once he hurt the ankle, hadn't looked the same. And so just not a lot of juice there from him or anybody at that position. And, I do think Lockett plays this week. That's a good thing for Seattle. But him and Metcalf haven't been performing the best as of late. As far as the Rams go, you want to roll Cam Akers out. That's fine. Don't get overly invested in this bad team, though. But I just think that Seattle continues to collapse a little bit. They haven't been great, and I don't see that stopping this week. I think the Rams would love nothing more. McVay, he's on the hot seat a little bit. They would love nothing more than to shut Seattle out of this playoff picture. So there's that. And then the final game we get is on Sunday night this week, Detroit at Green Bay. It's a playoff game, guys. I love it. Unfortunately for Goff and company, it's on the road. I love that Williams has got, like, Detroit coach has got his guys where he wanted them to be. Control your own destiny. I'm sure he's had some powerful speeches to them, and we've seen how powerful he can be during Hard Knocks. But the road stops here. Green Bay's been hot lately. They're going to run the football. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, these guys are in play, man. Watson, I like him. Lazard, I like him. But for me, it's like, running the football in the Green Bay defense, especially against the pass. So I think Goff's in for a tougher day, even though he's got all his full complement of weapons. Detroit's got to try to run the football. So I like Swift. I like Williams on the goal line, especially revenge game. Jamal Williams versus Green Bay is part of the last year. Wouldn't that be great? So I love those touches, but that's going to be a meaningful Sunday night football game. I don't see Detroit going into Green Bay, knocking off Green Bay. That is a little far-fetched in my opinion. Rodgers and company win out, roll on to the playoffs. Guys, that's our quick and precise look at Week 18 NFL football action. So if you're going to play, remember those tips we said about DraftKings. Hone in on some of those players and remember the guys that are out that we talked about and do some last-minute checking on Sunday before you lock those lineups. And, again, if you won the championship, congratulations. If you didn't, we'll be back next year. We'll pick up the process and chase her again. But that's it, guys. That's all I have for you this week. We'll be back again next week. Peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.